What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of our show. Orange County made the trip out to Texas this past week, and although they did not pick up the full 3 points, they come home with 1 point against a very good team at home in San Antonio. And hey, what else can we say? The game was on KCAL. That was awesome. How many of y'all were watching that? I hope you were on KCAL and not the ESPN Plus stream. Let's talk about all this fun stuff, and we'll get into this right now. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's see who's helping me out for this episode. First, we've got Mr. Brad. How are we doing, Brad?
Why did it take you so long to remember my name there?
I just wanted to make sure that you were who I thought you were, because I think, like most of us, I'm sure plenty of you all thought it was Colin Shuttler in goal to start the match this weekend. And we found out, midway into the match that it was in fact the youngster, Duran. I just wanted to make sure it was you and I wasn't being fooled.
That's okay. Lots of white guys with beards on this show.
Yeah, that is actually a thing. That's like the theme here. Let's bring one of those bearded guys here, Mr. Larry. Larry, how long did it take you to figure out it wasn't Colin Shuttler in goal?
37 seconds. And then I was trying to figure out what the hell those announcers were talking about. I'm literally looking at Kerry going, that's not Colin. What are these guys talking about? Yeah, it was annoying. Look, you're a professional announcer on TV nationally. Learn your freaking job.
But to be honest, Larry, the club released that it was Colin Shuttler. If you even look at the pregame show, they went with what the team released as Colin Shuttler. So I think they were just as surprised as the rest of us.
Yes, but it took me 37 seconds. It took them 46 minutes.
It took me at the Harp. We were actually looking at him. I was looking at him like, I thought Shuttler changed jersey numbers this year. Carlos is calling me out that it took me a while too. We were debating it for a while. I thought he was number one, and then I see number 20. I'm like, wait, Shuttler's 20 again? But hey, let's talk about this. We got more people to introduce. Let's bring on Mr. DK, one of the writers. And how long did it take you, DK, to realize it was not Shuttler in goal?
Well, unfortunately, I actually wasn't able to start the game live because I had plans that stopped me from. So I found out on Discord when everybody else was freaking out saying, where's Shuttler? I was able to put it on KCAL at the second half while I was at a bar. But I already knew at that point.
Yeah, it was very interesting because they were talking about Shuttler for that whole first half of the match. But let's give props to the broadcast on KCAL. How cool was it? And we'll skip Brad on this question because obviously he's not local, doesn't get KCAL. But how cool was it to be able to go and either from your couch or go to a local bar, restaurant, wherever, and say, hey, can you put it on channel 9 for me so I can watch the game? Larry, how cool was that for you?
I'm not in on that conversation. I watched it from home. I do not have cable, so I cannot watch KCAL 9. I watched it on ESPN Plus with the San Antonio Homer announcers who had no clue what the hell they were talking about. Have I mentioned that they
made me unhappy? I'm skipping you. I want to hear about KCAL. DK, you got to at least watch the second half on KCAL. How did that feel to be able to do that?
I thought it was amazing. I was, geeking out the whole time with all the people that I was with. That night I had other plans. We ended up at a brewery. They had a TV, and I just went up to the bartender and asked him to put on KCAL, and he obliged. So it was a great way for me to be able to watch the second half, regardless of my plans, being anywhere in Orange County area. So that was amazing. And I was super stoked to get to catch that second half.
And we learned if you watch, I mean, there was people who even talked about watching it like in downtown LA at a pool hall. We were watching it. I was at the watch party at the Harp. The Harp is awesome because they had it set up to stream the ESPN on two of the TVs out on the patio. I got in there. I talked to the owner. I said, hey, is there any way we can get it on Channel 9 because the game will be on Channel 9 today. And he seemed really stoked because it's a lot easier for him to put it on Channel 9. He was able to get it on all the TVs, plus have it on the sound blaring. So that was really cool to see as well. So that this is going to be awesome as long as people keep tuning in to watch the matches on KCAL 9 when they're good. And the good thing is it's for the away matches right here. A lot of the time with the Bally Sports stuff, it was home matches that they were streaming on Bally Sports, which, you know, we're all at the stadium. There's not as many of us watching. So the fact that it's a good away match on KCAL and without having to listen to those San Antonio announcers that Larry was tortured with for the match. And apparently, rumor is they mentioned our podcast on the stream, which was pretty cool on KCAL. I didn't get to hear it or I didn't hear it myself, but rumor was circulating that that was, in fact, something that did happen. So pretty cool. Yeah, producer Andy is going to chime in really quick. Go for it.
Yeah, on the mention of us getting a shout out, there was a moment, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but it's David Gascon, I think is how you say his last name. He mentioned, hey, Orange and Black Soccer Cast, they're posting a bunch of pictures of people watching on, he said Twitter, but whatever that bird app's called now. And then he also mentioned that we were watching it at the Harp. I was not at the Harp. I was at a local restaurant. And it was exactly as you described. I walked in. I said, hey, can you put on Channel 9? It took them a few minutes because, you know, they're overworked. But then I sat there and ate my hamburger and watched it just like a normal person, not a soccer sicko.
Yeah. It was really cool. I like that experience. Larry, you said you weren't a fan of the San Antonio announcers. Was there anything specific you didn't like, or was it just the whole shebang?
It was just, listen, I'm a sports fan. I'm a hometown sports fan. When Victor Rojas was the announcer, the play-by-play guy for the Angels, the guy lived 10 minutes away from me. I knew him personally. And he was, you know, he was a little bit of an Angels homer, but he knew his stuff. And it wasn't just all about how wonderful the Angels were. He talked about the other guys on the other team, and he had a clue as to what the hell he was talking about. And these people that they had in San Antonio, even Carrie, who, you know, again, she doesn't really know a whole lot about soccer. Even she's sitting here going, God, they are horrible. They just, they were illogical with what they were saying. They were just, they couldn't figure out who the goalkeeper was. They kept putting the camera onto Duran, and they kept saying Shuttler. Never mind that they don't look anything alike. Duran looks like he's 17, without question. Colin Shuttler is obviously 25 years old. And then, you know, at one point, they got the back of the jersey. And it said, Free, however you say his name, I'm going to apologize to you, Duran. I need to learn how to say your name properly. And they still were saying Shuttler. It's like, come on, guys, figure it out. It was just the whole game. They were really annoying, and they were just such homers. And it's never enjoyable to watch a game with just straight up homers as your announcers. Be professional.
Hey, but regardless of how you're watching it, there was actually a match played on the pitch. Let's talk about that match in San Antonio. Orange County on the road in San Antonio. A 0-0 draw, but I think, like our old friend Alan used to say, a point on the road, you can come away feeling at least somewhat victorious, and especially when it's against a tough team like San Antonio, who I believe Harry was telling us last week have scored 2 goals in all of their home matches this season, and were able to go in and get a shutout with the 17-year-old goalkeeper. Some questionable maybe calls here and there, but that happens all the time. I'm not going to gripe too much about that. And Orange County had some opportunities, albeit a few, but they had some opportunities. Thoughts, Brad, since we haven't heard from you for a while, thoughts on this match and the performance from Orange County, and did they deserve the result they got with a 0-0 draw there?
You know, if you told me last week Orange County would draw with San Antonio, given the form we've been in, I would have been a little disappointed. Looking at this game, San Antonio clearly had a plan to not allow Orange County to do anything in the final third. It's where we've been struggling all season. They played physical, although I think Mitchell Tainter got away with a, even the San Antonio homers were saying Tainter got away with a red in that like 30-minute-ish moment in the game. You know, a little disappointed with our substitution players this game. I really would have liked to see a lot more. I'm going to point out Ethan Zubak. I really think he's a talented player. But when he's coming on the field, please excuse the dog. When he's coming on the field, he's kind of giving a little bit of half effort. There's a shot opportunity that he has early into his on-field debut. And he gets the ball. One touch, he would have been at a really good spot. But he kind of just chips it a little right at the keeper. And it was the easiest save for him. I really do think our offense is better than how they played this game. Our defense still is absolutely phenomenal. And with Faree in the net, he made some really good, quick saves that you would have thought it was just Shuttler, just like the announcers did. There's one save early in the second half where San Antonio chips the ball into the box, player misses the header, and Faree has to do a body contorting cat-like reflexes to even make the save in the first place. So man of the match for me is Dylan Faree, hands down.
Larry, your thoughts on this match and the performance from the team, and who was your standout performer? He pulled a Brad.
I never do that. That was totally intentional. I wanted to make sure my dog wasn't barking. Oh, wait, I don't have any dogs. I have cats. I think that I said this on our Discord server. Ashton Miles is a boy playing like a fully grown man. He has been absolutely stellar. Listen, I love Marcus Nackam. He is a fantastic player. Honestly, with the way that Ashton has been playing, Marcus isn't missed that much. It will be great to get him back. Don't get me wrong. It'd be great to get him back. But I think Ashton was just terrific for the entire game. He stood up to every challenge that came at him. Had a couple of great tackles early on. Here's the thing about this team right now. 0-0 against San Antonio at San Antonio. We come out with a result. We go to Sacramento. We come out with a result with a substantially weakened by injuries team. And we are still getting results and getting wins across the board. USL Championship should be really terrified when everybody on this team gets healthy. Come June, July, August, when we've got a fully healthy squad, nothing's going to stop this team. I actually predicted that we would lose this game 2-0. I thought that San Antonio coming off a loss would be pissed off. We don't have a lot of luck going to San Antonio, but you know what? We came out of there with a 0-0 draw, and I was happy about it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'll agree. It's a pretty good performance. Again, you go into San Antonio, it's a tough team. It's a tough travel, really. And you get at least a result, 1 point on the road. That's really, really cool to see. DK, I'm going to jump to you. And first of all, before I ask you for your tactical analysis of what happened in this match, can we just give you props? I mean, you're getting props on socials for your excellent writing that you're doing for our website. So for those of you that only listen to the podcast or only watch us when we do our live shows, go check out what DK is providing, his analysis of matches. He's doing really good, and he's actually getting love from people that aren't really us on that. So DK, your thoughts on this match?
Well, thank you so much, Ray, for the shout out there. I really appreciate it. I do try to work hard on those post-match reviews. And, you know, I was able to watch the game in full, on Sunday, just to write that article and to analyze the team a little bit. And I mean, I think what we can look at with this squad and, you know, the coaching and the tactics that we've had so far is that the adaptability of this team has been just astonishing so far. You know, we can criticize the offense. There might be, you know, a little bit more clinical in the final third, but man, what we've been doing with so many changes to the starting lineup, like every game this season, we have seen a change to the starting lineup. We haven't had consistency yet due to injuries, due to whatever one might be. And at least two of these matches, we found out that they happened last minute. And for the team to be able to adjust to last minute changes like that, I think is a testament to how strong this team can be throughout the rest of the season. I think something that we do phenomenal, especially in the last few games, but I think the biggest highlight of this match was just our midfield play. Watching the passing between the team, you know, we weren't relying on those long passes that we kind of saw in the first couple of games this season. It was all midfield buildup, which was just fantastic to see. Kyle Scott, Cameron Dunbar, Kevin Partida were passing all around each other. Of course, we wish that we could have gotten a goal there, but as has been mentioned many times already on the podcast tonight, winning in San Antonio is a really big feat. I don't think they've had a loss at home in a couple of years. Well, maybe like one or two in a couple of years. So getting a draw out of this match, and not only a draw, but a shutout, 0-0, I think is a testament to how strong this team is, to how strong Morten Carlsen's tactics are, and the adaptability that this squad can pull out week in and week out.
I agree with that. And it's been nice to see, because I think in past seasons, there may be a little bit of, lack of being adaptable from some of our managers. And it's nice to see someone like Morten Carlsen making tactical changes and actually making lineup changes. You know, I feel like in the past, because Ethan was our starter to start the season up there at the striker position. And I feel like in the past, we might have gone 10 to 15 games before we decide to make a change. And the fact that Morten's willing to make a change and maybe insert Thomas Among in those spots early on is great. One last thing I want to talk about this match, and I know I mentioned I didn't really want to bash the refs, but I felt there was some really poor calls. And I actually just have a question I want to learn. So either you all or people listening, or just teach me. We were having a discussion at the Harp, and there was the call where Ashton Miles makes a slide tackle on what was going to be a breakaway. He's hands firmly on the ground, and his arm comes into play with that ball. There was discussion that we had at the Harp that if your hand is on the ground like that, and you're sort of diving in or leaning in and with your hand just sort of prop you up, is it in fact a handball, or should it have been a no call there? And I believe Ashton got a yellow for that as well. So do y'all know how that all works by chance?
I'll go ahead and take the bait on this one. Personally, I think that that is a handball. I don't know if I'd give it a yellow. I think rule of the law states it's something you can get a yellow for. However, I definitely think that's a handball on Ashton Miles. His hand is in an unnatural position. Even if it's an incidental contact, the correct call there is to give the ball to the San Antonio team there. The yellow, I could see it given. I'm not offended by it at all. However, you know, just unlucky for him.
Yeah, unlucky in that position. Now, there was a few other calls I wasn't quite excited about, but hey, that's what happens. We've talked about in the past, the referees aren't perfect. But hey, I don't want to keep our guest that we have waiting too long. We've made him wait a little bit longer than I think we were anticipating. But if you didn't know, Orange County now has a tough matchup this weekend, but at least this time at home against the team that they're equal on points with, but we have the one goal better on the goal differential. That's Sacramento Republic.
Hello, everyone.
Of the show from State of the Republic, Jared. Jared, welcome.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Orange and Black Soccer Cast. Always good to be here. Of course, this being the second match, I'm not sure how happy I'm going to be because, just look at the last time we played.
Yeah, the last time we played saw a great last-minute goal from Colin Shuttler. I'm sure those of you in Sacramento were loving that. I know you weren't at the match, Jared, but I'm sure you were loving that last-minute goal from the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I loved it like a colonoscopy exam.
Wow, that's fun. And I'm going to apologize right now if I do have a glitchy video and audio on my end. I am using backup internet on my end. I was having bad internet with my home internet, so I had to use my cell phone. So I apologize for those of you listening. Please don't be mean to me on that. Jared, how has Sacramento looked since they gave up 2 points to Orange County at home at the beginning of the season?
It's actually been pretty good. We've had our moments. Last week, we had played against FC Tulsa, and that was oddly enough a little rough. But then again, you factor in the heavy rain still sitting on Heart Health Park's pitch, and also some of the questionable referees' calls. We've been doing pretty good. I mean, hell, the last this past match, we had like 3 yellow cards called within the first 5 or 10 minutes or so. So that kind of tells you something. But yeah, I mean, the number 1 and 2 for the Western Conference, you know, it's still going to be Orange County and Sac Republic FC. San Antonio, gladly they've fallen down, and it doesn't surprise me about Mitch Tanner. Should have gotten a red. You know, that's his brand. You know, if he either plays like a thug on the field or has a meltdown after an opposing goal. So what else is new?
Yeah, I'm just going to open it up to my co-hosts on here. If anyone has a question for Jared regarding Sacramento or just anything in general, I leave it to y'all.
Yeah, hey, Jared. How do you feel like Sacramento has improved between game one and what we're coming into this weekend? What are they doing better than they were doing 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, however many weeks we are into the season?
Yeah, I think it's just chemistry with some of the newer folks, just getting folks that we had just recently signed going, like Trevor Amon. I mean, you've seen he's been pretty hot early on in the season. Also, Russell Cicerone coming back after serving that one-game suspension from last season against Phoenix. The two of them have been working real good as far as communication and getting one open. We did, unfortunately, had to say goodbye to one of our players because of injury. But in this place, we actually have taken advantage of our partnership with Huddersfield Town AFC, which our owner owns. So name is Kieran Phillips. Some of the things I've seen about him so far, I mean, it sounds like he could definitely sharpen his skills here in the U.S. Whether he'll actually see the pitch this Saturday, that's left to be seen. But I think as far as since the season opener against Orange County, we've just gotten better. We've had some close shaves, but we're just managing to keep up as we can.
All right, so I did manage to catch a lot of your Sacramento game this past weekend against Tulsa. So I know Sacramento had a lot of this game where they were up a man. I think it was like 80 minutes plus stoppage after mm-hmm. the 16th or 17th minute red card from Tulsa. The fact that Sacramento only pulled one goal and allowed a goal to be scored by Tulsa, is that more just unlucky, or was there something missing from the Sacramento offense this past game?
No, I would definitely say it was unlucky. I mean, there's various factors. I mean, the fact that we had our goal and then they fired back so quickly, I mean, it's just rather unfortunate. Then again, we had we had 22 shots and only a few of them were on aim. It's something that I've really, had questions about, as far as our club, the fact that we have these finishing opportunities and yet we sail it right above the bar or just randomly off where. But I mean, if we can tone those down, I mean, then of course Republic's going to be more of a bigger threat. But that's unfortunately is not going to change overnight. But I don't know. Had the weather been fair, pitch perfect and dry and everything like that, I would have seen it a little bit more competitive than even just the 1-1.
All right, my second question for you. Obviously, this is the second time we get to talk, and we're only going into 7 games into the season, knowing that Orange County and Sacramento have been on the top this whole time. What are your thoughts on the scheduling there? Is this a matchup that you're happy to be getting out of the way on the road to Orange County and finishing up the home and away so early? Or would you rather have the season go a little bit longer before meeting up again?
To be honest, given last year's results, I know it sounds a little cruel or whatever, but I'm kind of happy we're finishing the series this early, because you know that gives us time to take and I know it's going to sound odd, but not less challenging, but less frustrating matches. I mean, of course, we still haven't even played San Antonio yet. Las Vegas is looking freakishly good, so that's going to be a challenge. And unfortunately, I remember the last time I bet on Republic FC against Las Vegas and didn't turn out so well. But no, I mean, it would be great to get Orange County played with, especially with that particular date format, which is a little favorite of mine. But no, I mean, it's great to knock out the Californian series as we can. That way we can focus on, you know, trying to shore up the rest of our Eastern Conference schedule. I mean, we're going all the way to Rhode Island in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be a bit of a strain.
All right, my last question for you. USL Championship has you at the number two power rankings in the league. Is that fair, too high, or too low?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, we could definitely improve on some things, but compared to some years past, you know, it sounds about right for us. So would be nice to get back up into number one, but that involves finishing our shots. You know, obviously lowering down on the yellows, but no, I mean, that sounds about a fair position.
All right, Jared, you know, just speaking, since you'll be coming down to Orange County this time, and I haven't been able to watch too many Sacramento games this season yet, how is your guys' away form currently? And is there generally a focus in the style of play that you've noticed in regards to really trying to attack early, be offensively strong, or, you know, hold the defense line well to prevent the home team from necessarily getting an early lead?
I would usually say we'd want to attack early, because in the past, if we've scored early enough, you know, we usually try to ride the wave, so to speak. But I don't think we can really even try anything with that, because I've noticed the first half's, you know, going our favor, and then second half we just kind of start slacking off. I mean, thankfully we've had some saving graces, but I don't know. I would say we'd want to try to score early and just put the foot on the gas as we can.
Definitely. And I don't know if you've been able to watch too many Orange County games, but is there anything that you are worried about in regard to Sacramento coming to Orange County? Anything that could prevent your club from stealing some points in our hometown?
Well, first of all, there's the goalkeeper that, I'm still spouting the Italian profanities over from the first game. But, you know, as long as you got an Olowski on the pitch, you know, that's always going to be trouble for us. But, I mean, it's a well-even breadth of talent that Orange County has. That's why they're maintaining as high as they can. I mean, I still say it's frustrating to play against Orange County, but at least this is the second match. More than likely, we'll probably end up meeting in October or November.
Here's the interesting thing with this these early matches between Orange County and Sacramento is, if and or when they meet in the playoffs, it's going to be completely two different teams than what they have experienced playing in this early part of the season. So there'll be very little tactical you'll be able to take from the early matches against each other in the season and utilize that in the playoffs, which is going to be very interesting for these two teams. I was just looking, as y'all were talking to, I'm looking at statistically, these are two of the better defensive teams early on in the season. I believe the only team that's given up less goals than these two teams is Detroit City, but Detroit City has played two less matches than Orange County and Sacramento. So, right now, Sacramento and Orange County are looking like the toughest defenses in the league early on. Now, obviously, it's very small numbers, but that's showing that this is probably going to be another defensive battle. Orange County has been tested in those on the road against the San Antonio. They came from behind in Sacramento in a really tough battle there. How confident are you with Sacramento coming down to Orange County? Are you confident enough to feel like they should be able to, Sacramento should be able to get 3 points? Or are you of the mind they probably will get one at best, if not anything?
Well, on this this past week weekend's episode of State of the Republic podcast, I actually predicted a 1-1 tie. The first game, I predicted, if I remember correctly, that Republic would have gotten smoked, but ended up being tied there as well. So I'm thinking 1-1, but once again, it's going to be another slugfest. I mean, we could see another goalkeeper goal. If I'm not sure which team. Really, it just remains to be seen what all is going to happen, but there's not going to be any slow moments in this match as far as between Sacramento and Orange County down in Irvine. And then also, just to kind of piggyback on the Detroit comments, I mean, there's two reasons why Detroit is doing so good so far. I mean, two of them being Carlos Saldana, who was our backup to Danny Vitiello in net, and then also their coach Danny Dicchio. He was assistant coach for Republic FC for quite a few years, so maybe that might be lending as to why Detroit City is doing so excellent so far.
I mean, three goals,
or it could be they haven't played anybody,
you know, bad, but well, yeah. Just so you know, friend of the show Eli Lesser is saying that Orange County will be number one when it counts, so just so you know. You can enjoy where you're at right now or where you'll be sometime in the midseason. But I trust this Eli guy. He seems like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the sport. I know you don't live in the Sacramento area. I know you're a remote fan for Sacramento, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But born and raised in Sacramento.
And I would assume you have friends and you keep in contact with a lot of the local fans in Sacramento. Have you heard anything about the numbers of fans that are planning on making the trip down to Orange County for this match?
I've heard a few that are looking to go down. I don't have a firm number. I just mainly heard within, you know, local fan groups as far as that goes. So do expect some Republic FC fans down there. I wouldn't exactly say like a full takeover or anything like that, but I mean, aside from Monterey and Oakland, you know, that's, I mean, y'all are the closest to us since we no longer have Reno, no longer have Portland or anything like that. So, you know, expect a few fans here and there out there.
Yeah, it's very interesting as an Orange County fan that the other California teams are all up north and we don't have any, like, Southern California teams to go against anymore like we used to have in the past. So that's very an interesting shift of the dynamics for USL in the state of California.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I miss going down to San Diego. And of course, there was the one time I went to Irvine, basically up for 24 hours with no hotel.
There we go. Let's do this really quick. I'm going to hand it off to Brad because you mentioned what your prediction is for this match, Jared. But we got to figure out what our predictions are going to be for this match as well. And we have a little game that we like to play. Jared, you're welcome to join in on this, even though you probably haven't done much on this. But this is open to whoever wants to give a prediction and see how well you do for the season. Obviously, it's Orange County based predictions, but you can take your guesses. Brad, where are we at with this?
So far this season, if our lovely producer pulls up the graph, it looks to be like we have some people starting to pull away. First place, solidly in first place by himself, is Kayvon with a 20 out of a possible, 25 points on the year, which is honestly pretty outstanding. Oh no, sorry, through 6 weeks it's 20 out of 30. Taylor and Andy are 1 point behind at 19, and then a little gap before former first place 2 weeks ago, Nathan is in third, and then a couple of people at 16 and 15. But you can see on the graph there is a big distribution starting to take place between the people who have gotten the most predictions correct and some of the people who are either lagging behind on making good predictions like myself, or those who aren't getting their predictions in every week like Ray, even though we are 1 point apart.
I feel like I've only missed like one or two predictions, though. I haven't missed many.
I use you as kind of a an easy punching bag on that regard. You've actually done a lot better this year than you have in years prior.
Yeah.
And I believe Ray's internet just went kaput. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and continue. This prediction-wise, so far this season, you know, very, very solidly, we're getting 30 to 35 guesses a week, which is about three times what we were averaging in prior years. So, you know, keep getting those predictions in. They're open right now. You guys are killing it out there.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone for taking part in this contest. It's something that we started a while back. Brad sort of made it a little bit easier for people to participate with what we do and with a form and everything. And it's fun. And can I say, typically by this point, six games into the season, I'd already be like out of it. I would have no shot. I'm actually keeping myself slightly into this, which I'm proud of. And we'll see if we can keep this thing going. So let's get the predictions for this upcoming match. Make sure if you're listening live, share your predictions in the comments, and then make sure you actually officially submit them via the form that we have. So I'm going to go. We already heard Jared. Jared's going 1-1 in this match, a draw between Sacramento and Orange County. I'm going to go to you, DK. I want to hear from you first.
All right. I'm going to be a little overly positive just to try and, you know, shift things and maybe get some extra points on the prediction here. I'm going to go with a 3-1 Orange County. I think eventually our offense has got to click. And I think at home against Sacramento that it's going to finally happen. We're going to get quite a few goals. However, I don't think that a shutout will be entirely possible against a strong offensive Sacramento team, especially with Cicerone and Amon.
What about you, Larry?
Well, for starters, I suck this year with my 7 points, and I have made a prediction every single week. So I am not on my game at all this year. However, I have a bottle of 10-year-old Eagle Rare with me right here. And if you see right there, that little 10, put a hyphen in between the two of them. That's going to be the score of this week's game. 1-0. I just haven't figured out who it's going to be 1-0 to yet. No, what am I kidding? Come on now. OC, 1-0. Ethan Zubak opens his account.
I was going to say, you were scaring me there for a moment, Larry. Brad, what's your prediction for this match?
I'll go ahead and make your worst nightmares come true. I do believe, given our recent form, this is going to be a rough game. I'm starting to lose a little bit of confidence in the attack, but not the defense on Orange County. I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-0 Sacramento game, however.
Boo that man.
Wait. He's worried about our form? Aren't we like back-to-back shutouts at this point? I mean,
yeah, we're back-to-back shutouts, but this past game, we looked completely lost on offense. Among starting, I really don't think that's his best position on the team, and we're still struggling to get into that final third. I feel a lot of our goals this season have been either lucky or just really well play through the midfield, that catching a mistake on the opposite team.
And actually, correction. Back-to-back-to-back shutouts for Orange County heading into this match. So Brad's talking about form. Our defensive form is looking amazing. It looks like we should expect another shutout the way they've been playing. So I don't know why you're so negative on this, Brad. Here we go. I'm going to just go crazy on this one. This will be my first crazy prediction of the year, and I'm hoping it comes true. I'm going to go 4-0 Orange County in this match. They're going to open up the scoring while continuing their great defensive form, a fourth straight shutout, plus 4 goals for Orange County in a magical destruction of Sacramento here in Orange County. And the Sacramento players and fans will be boarding that Southwest Airlines flight back home with tears in their eyes. Sorry, Jared.
All I got to say is, if Brad's prediction is right, look for a package of brisket and maybe some 6-pack of Adios Pantalones from Dallas, Fort Worth. So
I'm sorry, you can keep your Texas barbecue. Carolina barbecue is so much better every day of the week.
Oh, this is going to turn in.
Hey, you know what? I was just in the chat,
boo Brad again. Boo Brad for his prediction. Boo Brad for talking about North Carolina brisket over Texas brisket.
I didn't say brisket.
You didn't say brisket, you said barbecue.
Whatever.
Yes, it's different.
No.
It's pulled pork out there in the Carolinas, buddy.
It's how you season it. That's the difference. And I'm sorry, I've had Texas barbecue or at least something close to it here in Arizona. And of course, who would turn down a beer called Adios Pantalones?
That is true. That is true. But let me just say, I was recently in Memphis, and my internet, I think, crapped out as I'm saying this. But if you can still hear me.
Nope.
Yeah. Are you okay there, Brad?
I did have a great steak at this. Oop. He's hearing praise about barbecue, not from Carolina, so he kind of choked up a little bit.
I have nothing against other barbecues. I am just sentimental towards a good Carolina barbecue sauce.
Look, the only thing Carolina is good for is basketball and tobacco. And I quit smoking and I don't play basketball anymore because I'm 54 and my knees are shot. So
wow, we're really losing control of this podcast because it's just steered down a barbecue lane here. Jared,
all right.
Any last message you have before we let you head off into the sunset in preparation for that Sacramento loss this weekend?
Well, first of all, congratulations on getting TV rights over to KCAL. I mean, that sounds like a great deal you all have, especially with the big spread across the L.A. Orange County that you have. And definitely tune in. I mean, this is definitely going to be a great match. I mean, whether you're at the match there in Irvine or if you're watching the surrounding area, definitely pick up on KCAL. I had to use ESPN Plus as a backup, unfortunately, because Fox 40 was experiencing website issues. But nonetheless, tune in, get there. It's going to be a fantastic match. But just leave the party favors for the day at home. You know, we don't need you getting busted. Hey, leave that to me.
It's going to be a party at the Champ. If you didn't know, it's Gnarly's birthday party celebration. He's going to invite some of his other mascot friends there. And again, we were chatting about this at the Harp. I wonder if the club realized what day they were planning this party for Gnarly, knowing, you know, what Gnarly looks like and everything. I mean, it totally makes sense in my eyes, but who knows? But Jared, as always, thank you for taking some time to speak with us about Sacramento. Best of luck the rest of the season other than this weekend.
Yeah, likewise, and I appreciate you for having me on. And either way, some of us are going to be smiling at the end of Saturday on that special day.
Perfect. Thanks, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have something new for you for this episode. It's something we're working on as we're going through stuff. And again, my internet, I apologize if there's any difficulties hearing me, but we heard it's a birthday of one of the players today, Mr. Ethan Zubak. And we're going to do the debut of this next segment. And this is called Two Truths and a Lie.
Hi, I'm Ethan Zubak. I'm a forward and I play for Orange County SC. I have scored a goal in the USL 10 seconds into the game. I am a UCLA Bruin. And I have six brothers.
All right, so there you have it. Those are the three options you have. Two of them are true. One is a lie. So you have a week to figure out which one is the lie. We'll reveal the answer next week of which one is in fact Ethan Zubak's lie. I'm going to open up guesses to all y'all. I don't want any reasons for your guess because some of you may know stuff already, but I want to hear a guess and I want to hear from you first, Larry. What's your guess on this? Which one is the lie?
I think that C is the lie.
Larry thinks it is C. All right. What about you, DK?
I'm going to go with B.
Brad, what do you think?
I also am going to go with B.
Perfect. I will say this. I shared this clip with my family before we went live on the air. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to tell you what they answered, but none of them got it right. So there was actually some trickery going on and people were trying to pay attention to all the little details of things going on this to try and guess it. But again, my family didn't get it right. And I know the answer and I don't want to potentially give it away with my facial expressions as I talk. So I'm not going to even take a guess on this. So again, you have a week to figure that out. We will reveal it next episode. With that said, let's get into some, before we go to what we learned today, I just want to ask, is there any important random thoughts that anyone wants to discuss before we wrap things up?
You know,
Brad, Larry, DK, anything?
Yeah, I have a random thought. I'm going to go back to sharing some vinyl. First of all, Record Store Day is this Thursday or this Saturday on the momentous occasion holiday. This week, I got a brand new, just released last week, a compilation album by Linkin Park that just released this past week, including their newly released slash recorded before he passed a single, Friendly Fire. Really good song. Really good album. Just a bunch of singles from their years. Also, Russell, I've watched the first two episodes of that show. It is fire.
I am six episodes into it, and it is outstanding. Really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, and I guess I'll piggyback off of Brad there, who mentioned Record Store Day. And if you're, you know, Orange County, Southern California local, a great record shop to go to for Record Store Day is Fingerprints in Long Beach, as you can actually just reserve the record that you want and come by and pick it up so that you don't have to wait in, you know, an hour or two line on the Record Store Day to get the exclusives. So if you go to their website, you can actually reserve it and pick it up on the day at your leisure. It's a great record store, fairly famous in the Southern California area. Again, that is Fingerprints in Long Beach.
But isn't the fun part of going to a record store, even if it's Record Store Day, actually digging through like and scroll, like, you know, fingering through all the different records that are available for you to choose from and seeing what there is and what there isn't?
It is. But as somebody who's been to multiple record store days waiting in line at 4 a.m., I will just say that not having to wake up that early in the morning and instead reserving the record that you want to see if it's available is a lot better and more convenient for those who don't like waking up that early.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. I get it. But isn't the fun waking up and waiting in line also at like 4 a.m? That's part of the fun of Record Store Day.
Sometimes collecting isn't about fun, Ray. You don't know how serious collecting gets, you know? Like,
no one likes to go stand out in front of the store for like 4 hours waiting for it to open. I used to
When I was 24, yeah, definitely. But now that I'm
guys, now, it is 2024. I have two words for you. Spotify.
But the Record Day releases are not available on streaming apps.
The last time I waited outside of a record store for anything was in 1997, and it was for Aerosmith tickets, okay?
But if you want those special releases that are specifically for Record Store Day, you have to go into the physical store and buy a physical record, LP, to be able to listen to that.
Physical media is not dead there, Larry. Physical media is not dead.
Yes, it is.
Well, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's not going to come back.
This is going to wrap things up for us. But before we wrap it up, we got to figure out what we all learned today. So I'm going to go to you first, Larry. What did you learn today?
I learned that the second cat that Carrie and I got that was supposed to be mine loves her and not me. And it really kind of has me a little bit pissed off and sad.
All right, Larry, what did you learn on this episode today?
What did I learn on this episode? I learned that potentially Ethan Zubak might be a Bruin, which is weird because I'm a UCLA guy, and if he in fact is, I should know that. And Ray is frozen.
I'm just going to go ahead.
What did you learn this week?
I think Brad's got it first.
Oh, I was going to give it to Keith as well. I was going to say, I'll take over.
Oh, okay, got it. What I learned today is that Sacramento has also gotten a lot of shutouts, and they are also a defensively strong team. So that if we want to get 3 points out of this week, that we need to see some change in our offensive structure and get some goals.
All right. And I'll go ahead and Dr. Evil go up in
the
last
upper right side of the screen here.
I learned this week that people's taste for announcing teams is vastly different than mine. I didn't think this past week's game for the San Antonio announcers, they were that bad compared to some of the other ones that we've listened to, notably Memphis. However, clearly I'm just going to go full heel here and say I didn't think they were that bad.
I'm with you, Brad. I didn't think they were that bad either.
But you were in a bar, Keith. You couldn't hear them.
I watched the whole game on ESPN Plus on Sunday. They were not that bad.
Well, hopefully y'all can hear me for what I learned. But in this episode, I did learn that apparently all y'all think your barbecue is the best barbecue in the world. Can't we all just get along? If you want brisket, go to Texas. If you want ribs, go to Memphis. If you want pulled pork, go to Carolina. There you go. That's how that all works. And that's the way barbecue works, and just live with it.
I think the only thing we can agree on is hashtag Samora out.
Ooh. Well, that's going to wrap things up for this episode. And you know what, Brad, you could say that they tried to do that 2 episodes ago and look what's happened. Where's Dylan and Taylor now? They have missed 2 straight episodes after hijacking this show. It doesn't work. This is my show, and y'all got to live with it. It's all of our show. I'm not claiming it to myself. Well, I want to thank everyone, especially our guest, Jared, for taking some time and messing around with us, even though we were off the rails at points. My co-host, Larry, Brad, DK, Brad's dog, who wanted to chime in earlier today. Also, producer Andy, and all of y'all that listened, commented, had fun with us. Thank you for doing so. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.